Won't you pray with me?
Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together to call upon your name. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments that you might stand in my body and think with my mind and speak with my tongue. I pray that the words that you've placed inside of me, the things that you want to speak to your people, let them come forth with clarity, with conviction, and with power. I pray, oh God, that we might hear you as you deserve to be heard, that we might make preparations to obey you based upon what you say to us on today. So to that end, have your way. Glorify yourself, anoint your word, and use it in our lives afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, I want to deal with and I want to talk about a small but purposeful celebration. A small but purposeful celebration. Now, I'm going to walk my way through this story in Mark chapter 6. So open up your copy of God's Word and join me in Mark chapter 6. And I want you to, we'll start our discussion right around verse 7. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It might differ a little bit from yours, but watch what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 7, "And he," talking about Jesus, "called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and to turn to God." Now watch what's happening. Jesus has just had this encounter, this rejection in his own hometown of Nazareth. But he recognizes that his season to launch out into the earthly ministry that God has called for him to do that will ultimately lead him to the cross has to start with the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he sends out the 12 to proclaim in all of the little towns, all of the little villages, all in the area of Galilee, to talk about the message that the kingdom of God is at hand, to talk about who Jesus is. While he gives them authority to preach and to cast out demons and to operate in miracles that would validate their message of the kingdom, Jesus stays behind, but it's apparent that he gives them some instructions about where to meet him once their mission is done, probably in the city of Capernaum, which is the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. Now, while they go off to preach, Jesus stays behind, but while they're off on their mission, Jesus gets word that his cousin, the last Old Testament prophet, the guy that we know as John the Baptist, he is beheaded while in prison by one of the local people who's in charge in that area by the name of Herod the Tetrarch. You'll find that story in verses 14 through 28, that it was at a birthday banquet that was being given, that Herod was basically tricked and backed into a corner by the woman that he was married to and her daughter to behead John the Baptist. And so pick up what happens in Matthew chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. The Bible says that later John's disciples came for his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus what happened. Now, that's similar to what we see in Mark chapter 6, verse 29, that when they heard about what happened, they went and got his body, they buried it in a tomb, and as soon, Matthew says, as soon as Jesus hears the news that his cousin, the forerunner, the one who paved the way with his preaching for the ministry of Jesus, when he heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area, watch this, to be alone. Now, notice what's happening in the story. The disciples are gone. Jesus is by himself, and he gets word that his cousin, the one who was only 6 months older than him, his cousin had been murdered by Herod the Tetrarch. It was for Jesus a tough season of loss. Think of the personal and mental and emotional trauma that he's going through. And so the Bible even says in Matthew 14, verse 13, that Jesus wanted to be alone. After hearing of that loss, he wanted to be by himself. But about that same time that John's followers come and tell Jesus about this family tragedy, this personal tragedy that's happened, Jesus's disciples return from their mission. About the same time that he gets this word, his disciples come back and they meet him in the place that he had prearranged with them to meet. So pick up the story in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles, because apostle means one who was sent out ahead, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. They're excited. They've seen God do amazing things through broken people like them. And look what happens in verse 31. Then Jesus says, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Now watch this. The disciples have come back from their tour of preaching in these little towns and villages and all of this ministry activity and casting out demons and working miracles. They show back up at ministry headquarters at Capernaum, which is Peter and Andrew's hometown where Jesus had kind of set himself up, and all this stuff is happening. They had just had this busy, intense season of activity for both the disciples and now for Jesus. These people are showing up because they're trying to find Jesus. The disciples have people following them because they want more miracles, they want more stuff, and there's lots of people that want to be around Jesus and his disciples. But look what Jesus does at the end of verse 31. He said, "Let's go off by ourselves," because there were so many people coming and going that they didn't even have time to eat. That this, what Jesus wanted to do, they couldn't even eat because of all of the people that were back and forth. So look at what happens in verse 32. They left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Remember, Jesus has just dealt with his own personal trauma. The disciples come back and they have so much to report. There's so much they want to happen, but they have been busy. They've been doing all of this stuff, and Jesus recognizes that they need rest. There's the need that Jesus recognizes to isolate themselves, to unplug, to pull back from all that's going on. Not only that, but if you go back and look at the story in Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, Herod, the same guy that had just killed John the Baptizer, knows of Jesus's and John's association, and so Jesus's life is in danger. John has just been killed, but surely they're looking for the guy who looks like and sounds like his ministry is like John. So the block was hot. It wasn't a good time to be out. It was dangerous to be out in the open and to be around so many people, not knowing who to trust. And watch this. For what Jesus wanted to accomplish in this time with the disciples. Now, he's just sent them out. They've accomplished great things, but he knows John's ministry has just been ended by death. It's a precursor to the fact that Jesus's ministry is also going to end by death, and he's going to have to trust these guys with what's going to happen in the next 3 years for making sure that the kingdom of God and the message of the kingdom of God and the salvation that's available through Jesus Christ alone, that that mission and that message gets out. He knows this is a strategic time, and what he needs to accomplish with his disciples, watch this, he can't do it with a bunch of people around. He cannot accomplish what he wants to accomplish in conversation and in celebration of what has just happened with a large group of people. Some of you think that you already know where I'm going, but watch this. I just want to suggest to us that Jesus uses weird times to accomplish wonderful things. Jesus uses weird times to accomplish wonderful things. Now, check this out. In your leisure, read through all of Mark 6. You'll notice that in this passage, there's three different meals that take place. There's this lavish banquet that's focused on Herod's selfish indulgence that takes place in verses 14 through 28. Then there is this simple, purposeful, preparatory meal that Jesus wants to have with his disciples in verse 31. And then there is the feeding of the 5,000 that takes place in verses 35 through 43. Watch this. I want to focus us on the middle one, the one that's sandwiched in between these two big meals. I want us to look at the little meal, because Jesus wanted to spend this time with his disciples. He wanted to have this celebratory meal. They've just accomplished great things in ministry. He wants to have this celebratory meal with his disciples, but he didn't want the business or the busyness or the large groups of people around to taint or infect or to corrupt the purpose that he had in mind for that meal. Check this out. Don't get ahead of me, but notice this, that this is a time, this is a season, even with what's going on around us with the coronavirus, this isn't a time to be in big crowds. Because what Jesus wants to accomplish, what Jesus wants to celebrate with us, if we have too much noise, if we have too many people, if there's too much stuff happening around us, it will infect us from the things that God wants to do in that small, celebratory, purposeful meal. Notice what happens in the text. That Jesus' small, celebratory meal with his disciples didn't need more people. It needed purpose. He intentionally wanted them in a small group setting because he needed to help them understand what had just happened. He needed them to prepare for what was going to happen. And he couldn't do that in a crowd, but he could only do it in a small way, in a small meal. Not only that, but notice that Jesus' small celebratory meal with his disciples didn't need a bunch of complication. It was a time where he needed them to rest. He needed them to recharge. He himself needed to repair and heal from just hearing about the death of his cousin. See, many times we look at seasons like Thanksgiving, and we think about all the stuff that needs to go into it, and we get so caught up with the complications of trying to pull off the big meal and the big family celebration and the whatever, 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 and we never actually take the time to recharge and to rest. Jesus recognizes they had just come from this major mission and they needed to rest. And too many people, too many complications, too many things happening would rob them of the rest that they needed. Maybe this is a season to not show up at the big family gathering because you need to rest. There's been a lot going on. But also notice this, that Jesus' small celebratory meal with his disciples didn't need more duties. They didn't need a whole bunch of other stuff to do. They needed some time to reflect and to rejoice. They needed to reflect on what was happening and what was going on around them and where they fit in the purpose of God in the time of history that they found themselves, because they were about to move into where Jesus was about to pick up the pace. If you'll notice in the story in the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus picks up after the feeding of the 5,000, and they needed that time to reflect on what they had seen because it was going to build the faith for what was coming up next. Not only that, but they needed some time to rejoice. They needed some time to be thankful. Luke picks up the story in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. We pick up Jesus' side of the conversation. Once they get away from people, the disciples, and they joyfully report to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us in your name." And we actually see one of the few times in Scripture that Jesus bursts out into praise and into thanksgiving to the Father, because he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven," and he even prayed in verse 20, "Lord, I thank you for revealing what you have revealed to these." Sometimes you need a small place to really let out what the rejoicing that's in your heart for all that God has done, for all that God has set up in your life, all that God has accomplished. I mean, think about the fact of what we've been through in 2020. And I declare to somebody, I may not have seen you in a while, but I do know this. I bet you don't look like what you've been through. I bet you God has done some amazing things. I bet you even in your personal life, God has been able to see Satan fall like lightning. He's been removed from some strongholds and removed from some places because you have operated in obedience to God, even in this season. And you don't need a whole bunch of people to celebrate that, but you do need to pull away. You might need to isolate so that you can really and fully reflect on and rejoice in all that God has done and all that God has accomplished. And yes, it's a weird time. Yes, it's not a Thanksgiving like we've ever seen, but I declare to you that Jesus uses weird times to accomplish wonderful things. And I don't know who this is for, but this might not be the season to show up at the big gathering. This isn't a time where it's safe to be out on the block. Maybe this is a time to pull away from the crowds and to celebrate in a small place with a small group of people all that God has done, to rest from all that you have taken part in, to recognize that this may not be the Thanksgiving that I want, but this might be the Thanksgiving with more purpose in it than ever before. Maybe God is preparing me for what's about to happen next. And I can't be around a whole bunch of people because it'll dilute and dilate that thing that God is trying to say. And as I reflect on it, and as I rejoice on what he has done, I'll be ready to move into what God has next for me. Can I pray for us? Father, we thank you that even in a weird season where Thanksgiving and the holiday season isn't going to be what we wanted or what we anticipated or what we've seen before, but Lord, I believe that there's a purpose in this small celebration. I believe that when we lock ourselves away, when we shut it down, when we go small this year for safety reasons, I pray that you would help us to reflect on and to recognize your hand in the midst of all that has happened prior to these points. And I pray that you would use this time to help us release our rejoicing, to reflect on what has happened, to get ready for what's about to come next. Lord, I pray for healing in the body. I pray for healing of our minds. I pray for a restoration and recharging of our spirits for whatever is coming next. Lord, we declare we trust you. And so we believe that you're going to use this weird time to do some wonderful things in us so that you can get some amazing things from us for your glory, for your good. And so, Lord, we give you praise and honor now. And we tell you thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for how you keep us. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.